Stephen Lindstedt, welcome to Labors for Neighbors. You are a champion of the world. You just won, you and your spelling system just won an award, won a competition. Tell us what competition you just won.
Well, this was the competition organized by the International English Spelling Congress, which is a congress organized by the English Spelling Society and the American Literacy Council. And the object of this was to try and find an alternative spelling scheme to our current very irregular system of spelling.
Because English spelling is crazy, funky, and whack, correct?
The English spelling system is probably the most irregular of all those based on the alphabetic principle. It's what the etymologists call a deep orthography, which means it's incredibly irregular. it's very difficult to predict.
The example I always used, had, mad, sad, fad, are fine, and then you throw in plaid, and that throws the whole thing out of whack because, okay, you threw an I in there somewhere. Why don't the other words get a silent I occasionally?
And yes, indeed.
It throws the whole thing into chaos.
Yeah, I mean, the English spelling has got some underlying rules, and we can talk about that more later. But the problem is that English spelling just doesn't observe its rules. There are so many exceptions, which makes English spelling very difficult to master. And there are economic costs to this. People used to just think, well, we all had to learn to spell. We all managed to eventually. But the fact of the matter is not everybody does. And studies carried out in Scotland show that English-speaking school children took upwards of 2 years longer to master basic spelling than those of other countries, French, German, and others. And that 2 years extra schooling, extra learning, is an enormous cost. And of course, some people leave primary school, secondary education, and haven't mastered spelling by that time. And they can carry this burden with them throughout their lives. And certainly I and the society believes that this is one of the contributions to the level of illiteracy throughout the English-speaking world.
Stephen, you're a member of the English Spelling Society?
Yeah.
I'm a member of the American Literacy Council since 1989, 88. And we had there were six finalists in this competition. It took 2 years. Was that a trial? Was that a drag?
I think it was, it required a considerable effort. I mean, the Spelling Society committee did debate whether members of the committee, like myself, should be allowed to put in candidates for the competition. And after considerable discussion, they decided, yes, it would be unfair to deprive people who had spent a lot of time on producing schemes from putting them in. But we did take steps to, as far as possible, to make sure that the system was fair and transparent. All the schemes that were submitted were sifted by independent sifters to see whether they complied with the terms of the competition. They were then sent to an independent commission consisting of six experts, and no member of the committee had anything to do with the selection of the shortlist. People may be suspicious, but I can say hand on heart, I don't think I had any unfair advantage. And I don't think anybody else did. And I just hope people will accept that.
Well, I had as good a look from afar as there is. And I was very impressed. Stephen, by any definition of the terms, had the tightest, the most conservative spelling reform plan. In other words, English spelling is a monster and is this crazy. You don't want to, your plan does not make it completely a phonetic. Your plan makes it as phonetic perhaps as the French spelling system or the German spelling system, which is, what little I know about it, it's a one-way one-way phonemic authenticity. In other words, let me see if I can get this right. I'm thinking aloud. if in French, there are two or three different ways to spell the O sound. And that's you would like to have just one way, but they have three ways, let's say. But those three spellings, when you see those three spellings, you know that they only say the O sound. They don't say A or E or I. Is that a fair rendering?
Yes, it's absolutely fair. What we call the problem with English spelling, it suffers from a double whammy. Not merely can you predict the spelling from the pronunciation, you can't always predict the pronunciation from the spelling. This is the problem even with BBC announcers when they try to wrap their tongues around some local place names. I've heard Great Hucklow come out as Great Hucklow, just because you don't know whether the OW is O or OW. And with French and German and some of the other kind of middle languages, you have one way for ethnicity, you're quite right. I mean, in French, the sound E can be pronounced E-X, E-acute, or E-T, or E-S-T. But once you see written French, you should be able to know how to pronounce it, even more so with German. When you get to Italian or Spanish, then you get two-way phonemicity because you can usually predict the spelling from the pronunciation. Right. And what I've tried to do with traditional spelling revised is at least to push English spelling in the direction of French or German.
Now I want you to be as as transparent as possible. Who inspired you? When did you come up with this system? And somebody inspired you. Give me two or three. You had a hero or a scholar that was impressive to you. You come on now. You didn't come up with this out of.
I'd like to be able to say there was somebody like Dr. Johnson or Noah Webster or somebody like that. The way I came at it was this. I mean, I have every respect for sound spell and for the American Literacy Council's efforts. And I think for many years, I was probably a radical and that I wanted some more radical scheme. I even produced one of my own called Reg Spell, which was independent of sound spell, was pretty similar to it when you analyze it. Mm-hmm. But then in all the arguments that go on over this, I said to myself, well, look, probably we're not going to be able to persuade the great British public for anything radical. Let's have a look at some of the conservative schemes that have been introduced. I thought that a lot of these did have a lot of defects because a lot of them really didn't achieve anything and had an awful lot of irregularities in them. And so I tried to build on the more conservative schemes and say, now, can we at least push traditional spelling in the direction of one-way phonemicity? Can we define the existing rules in a predictable way and just change the words that can't be brought within those rules? So it came to me basically from looking at the situation and looking at existing conservative schemes and trying to push them a bit further towards phonemicity.
Are there any words, one of the criticisms that I have heard leveled at TSR, that's Traditional Spelling Revised, is that a person, maybe even the author of the system, if you say a word, an obscure word, you don't necessarily know how to spell it.
That's true. I mean, that would be the same as with French.
Okay.
German.
But would it be fair to say that it's, instead of 15 different ways, that it's two or three different ways that would be the...
It has, yes. I mean, basically, if in traditional spelling, a particular combination of letters can only represent one particular sound, then generally speaking, that option is carried through into TSR. But where there is ambiguity, then that has changed. One of the main ambiguities we get rid of is the, what I've already mentioned, OW, which can be either sow as in a female pig, or so as in sowing seed. Mm-hmm. And so I got rid of that. OW can only represent the OW sound, and the O sound is represented either by O at the end of a word or OE or OA. So I have reduced the options. Where there is ambiguity, I have reduced those ambiguities. The same with the letter IE, which can represent a number of sounds. The sound E cannot be represented by IE, only by some sounds which invariably characters that invariably represent that sound and traditional spelling. So I had reduced some of the options to get rid of the ambiguity.
You, the International English Spelling Congress, is that the correct?
That's correct, yes.
The International English Spelling Congress announced the results today, correct?
Yes.
And this was an announcement, a press release, correct? Mm-hmm. And have you heard from the press? Have you heard from any BBC types in Britain or elsewhere?
Well, unfortunately, the unfortunate demise of the Duke of Edinburgh has tended to push everything else off the pages in the British press. But we're expecting some coverage later in this week. Anyhow, that's the way the cookie crumbles. These things tend to happen. Interestingly enough, there's been a big row going on at the moment between various British universities who want to reduce the amount of marking down of people who don't write proper. With less attention, they want to grammar and spelling and syntax in the interests of social inclusiveness. And as you can imagine, this has produced a furore among the those who don't like this kind of thing, which has made the leader of the Times today. Everybody is trying to draw the English Spelling Society and the Congress into this debate, which I'm very happy to do. But in actual fact, spelling has been given a certain focus due to this row that's going on.
So you're in England, correct?
Yes.
I'm in America. Mm-hmm. Our American Literacy Council had a candidate. It was Soundspell. We were one of six. You are in England. You had a candidate. It was Traditional Spelling Revised. Can you mention the other four candidates, where they were hailed from geographically?
Offhand, I mean, I know which ones they were. There were two from England, one from the United States. One of the others, I think, was from Britain. So there have been at least two from the United States. And this, I think, was where.
What was the other? Do you remember the name of the other one from the United States?
Soundspell, as you say, was one of them. We had two from Richard Kilner, and we had Lightspell and Readscript. These are the ones. One, Readscript was very radical. TSR was the most conservative, and most of the others fell between the two, but I would say they tended more into the radical category at the moment. So I'm hoping that we'll have something to say about that.
How do you envision it ever coming to pass, ever working its way into English spelling?
Well, one lives in hope. I mean, clearly, the result of the vote was never going to be the vote of the entire English-speaking world, and only just a small sample. But what I believe will now happen is that the committee of the English Spelling Society will have further consultations, both with its own membership and more widely, to assess the degree of support for TSR. I think one of the pointers, at any rate, from this vote is that it's confirmed what a lot of people have thought, that when you open the debate up to the wider world, the English-speaking world, that probably those who want a more conservative approach probably outnumber those who don't. And if that is a true marker, then that one will have been one achievement. Mm. And I can then say, well, TSR is a conservative scheme, a bit more radical than the others. I hope it's been a good contribution to that debate. I'm quite happy to tweak TSR in the light of comments received. Some I might not be happy with. Anything that, you know, makes it more coherent and more predictable and more acceptable, I'd be more than happy to go along with. And one of the things I have suggested is that there should be some independent commission to promote the new scheme, whatever scheme may ultimately be chosen, and rule on questions of difficulty. And possibly also, like the Académie Française or the Real Academia, put forward suggestions for changing the scheme. I think an independent commission would be very helpful.
Stephen Linstead, your Traditional Spelling Revised won the first and only International English Spelling Congress competition. Congratulations for this tremendous labor for your neighbors. I celebrate your work, and kudos to you, and good luck.
Joe, thank you very much indeed.